Japan's Prime Minister Shinzo Abe marked the 70th anniversary of his country's surrender and the end of World War II today with what some heard as an apology. Here he is speaking through an interpreter.
History is harsh. What is done cannot be undone. When I squarely contemplate this obvious fact, even now, I find myself speechless and my heart is rent with the utmost grief.
So if that is an apology, how unusual would it be to hear that from the leader of a country? Thomas Berger studies this. He's a professor of international relations at Boston University's Pardee School of Global Studies and author of War, Guilt, and World Politics After World War II. Professor, thanks for joining us.
Thank you. It's a pleasure to be here.
Well, what do you make of what we heard from the Japanese Prime Minister today? Was that an apology?
It is an apology if you want to look for it. It's a long kind of history lesson, and lots of the key words that people were looking for, apology, invasion, colonial domination, the suffering inflicted upon the Chinese people, and so forth, they were there. Also a kind of veiled reference to the comfort women, the 200,000 or 100,000 or so mainly Korean women who were forced into sexual slavery is also mentioned. So you can see an apology there, but it's all framed in such a way that Japan's guilt, its responsibility for those events is watered down. And I'm pretty sure that lots of people in Korea and China are not going to see it in his apology.
Now, the reason that this is making such headlines today is because it is so rare for a nation to apologize like this for something that's happened in the past. And we should point out that probably most of the people who are alive in Japan today were not alive during World War II.
Well, it's certainly true that, and Abe himself points it out in his statement, that over 80% of the people in Japan were not alive at the time of World War II. And he also indicates that the Japanese people should not go on apologizing forever. However, it's become increasingly common. Let me just sort of slightly disagree with you. It's become increasingly common for leaders to express regret and to apologize for past events.
Why is that?
That's a good question, an excellent question. And my guess is, and some of it's a little bit like what we see in domestic politics. I mean, here in the United States, we are having another wrestling with the past history of racism and slavery because of the events of Ferguson and reports of police brutality against people of color. And we need to have that conversation, right? In international politics, we are also being forced to come to terms with the concerns of other countries as well. So there has been a general tendency since, I would say, probably certainly after World War II, with greater intensity since the 1980s, for leaders to try to address those kinds of questions internationally.
Does it mean as much when it's coming from somebody who had nothing to do with what happened? It's a lot easier to apologize for something that you didn't do yourself.
No, of course. Well, it is and it isn't. Yes, it means a lot, especially when it's coming from somebody like Prime Minister Abe, because he represents, if you like, the Japanese nation, the Japanese government, and it is his responsibility to sort of explain to the population and to the broader international audience what this all means. So it means something.
Why aren't we hearing stuff like this from Germany, from that country's current leadership about what happened there in World War II?
Well, the Germans have a particularly nasty history, but Japan's imperial history is not a happy one either. And the Germans, unlike the Japanese, were really forced to deal with their neighbors in the immediate aftermath of World War II. I mean, this began already in the 1940s, but really in the 1950s. The German governments at that time, looking to reintegrate themselves economically and politically in Western Europe, had to address these issues. And so very early on, the Germans, while they had similar difficulties coming to grips with this, began to pay not only making apologies, but also paying large sums of money. Over the course of the Cold War, Germany paid probably $100 billion in compensation to various people.
So you're saying they dealt with it before?
They had to deal with it before. And the German government today continues this. It's almost ritualistic.
While we are talking about nations that are apologizing, there is one that has not apologized and refuses to even recognize what happened. And I'm thinking of Turkey and the mass killing of Armenians. It is so sensitive that even President Obama won't refer to it as the Armenian genocide because he doesn't want to offend the Turks?
Well, you're exactly right. I mean, this is an issue for Turkey. It's a highly sensitive one. It affects their relations not only with the United States, but more importantly with Europe, where this has really been used against them, especially in France, as something that shows that they're not really ready to join the European Union or become a more closely affiliated partner for Europe. And the Turks are very sensitive to it, and they have not worked through this issue at all. Another country, by the way, which hasn't really dealt with its past at all is Russia. And right now, the Putin government is espousing a historical narrative which makes the Soviet domination of Eastern Europe like a wonderful thing.
Do you expect that we will one day get an apology from Russia, from Turkey?
I would be more optimistic about Turkey in the long run. Because I think that Turkey, but it depends a lot on political circumstances. These debates over history are as much about the present and the future as they are about the past. And so given the right circumstances, yes, I expect Turkey and possibly Russia, but we're going to have to wait a long time for that to come.
Thomas Berger, professor of international relations at Boston University's Pardee School of Global Studies. He's the author of War, Guilt, and World Politics After World War II. Professor, thank you.
Thank you.